Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Dutchman, did I start too soon?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of when it's going to fade. Yeah, just give it a little bit of time. It'll fade.
Okay. Do it again.
Yep.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Minutes to an hour, Dirty Dutch Mantel. I'm joined by the co-host today, and a man who I've never met personally, but I hope to meet him in the next several months. John Paz. John, how you do? How are you today?
Doing very, very good. Dirty Dutch, amidst all the chaos and amidst all the pandemic craze, I am doing pretty good, I must say.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, I got a lot of news today, or a lot of things that I want to talk about. So, in staying with tradition, John, just get in, close the door, get behind the wheel, crank the car up. Let's make this trip down the road, and let's do what wrestlers have done for centuries. Well, not centuries, but since we had a car. We've done for ages, make the time pass easier and faster, we would start talking. And I actually started doing a podcast called Wrestlers in Cars. Do they have a show like that yet, John? Wrestlers and Cars?
No, but I think Seinfeld, right? Didn't Seinfeld have a?
I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, when you go out on a trip, and I may have brought this up last time we talked. If you go on a 300-mile trip, 250-mile trip, if you're with somebody who's not a good conversationalist and is not interesting, that time drags. You'd want to go and shoot yourself by the first 100 miles. But if you have someone who's a good conversationalist and can throw ideas back and forth, and also I'm going to throw this in here, I've come up with some of my greatest angles, some of my greatest ideas in a car. And usually it's on the way back from the town when you relax a little bit and you get to thinking and it's kind of dark. And I've had some great ideas coming back from the town. We used to book Memphis, by the way. We'd go do the Memphis House Show on Monday night. On the way back to Memphis, to Nashville, where most of us lived, we'd booked the whole next TV, and we booked the next week. So that was our booking session for the week. Actually, right after the show was over, which was the best time to do it, fresh on your mind. So let me get down to business here. Let's do a little house cleaning. Today is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and we're doing this early because of everything that's in flux. With the coronavirus, and I'm going to tell everybody that and John, you'll agree with me on this. This is historic times. This has never, never, ever happened anywhere in the world. So, you know, like 9/11 happened. Everybody remember that. Everybody's going to remember this. this time in history when the virus hits. And it's a deadly virus, people. Don't take it lightly, believe me, because they don't close down Disney World for nothing. Close down Vegas for nothing. They don't cancel a whole Major League Baseball season for nothing, just on a whim. They don't do that. Or cancel the Final Four. They don't do that. March Madness. They don't do that because it's serious. And I don't want to go on a conspiracy rant here, but I don't think we're being told everything that they know. And there's probably a reason behind that is because it's to probably save us from anarchy. I don't know. That's just my conspiratorial mind working. But I think when you hear news every day and there's something popping up, and John, I don't know if you're like me, but I read my phone like every 15 minutes. So I'm reading this news here and this news there and what's being reported over there. There's something new, brand new, every 15 minutes. And if you take Italy, and Italy has been really hit hard by this virus, they're saying that we're like 8 days behind where they were. So they come through our spot 8 days ago, and it's still going up. So, and I don't know how many people in Italy. I say 50 million. I don't know. But we got quite a few more people than 50 million people. We got 330 million. And it's causing a stir. And if you really think about it, which I don't want to, but I'm going to anyway, they don't have the hospital beds if everybody gets sick at one time. You ever think about that, John?
Yeah.
If you get
scary
sick,
stuff. Yep.
If you get sick, you go to the hospital. If you're like me, I find out all these obscure websites, and I start looking at them. I found one from India the other day, which is another thing that when this virus hits India, and I'm sure it's already there, when it hits India, it may put them all to shame because India in no way or form is as advanced as China is right now. And I've been all over the world. I've been to India. I've been to India twice, and I don't really recommend going back, to tell you the truth. John, you ever been to India?
I have never been.
Well, I'm going to dissuade you from going. Because India, and let me just talk a little bit. We're just talking. Remember, we're on a trip. Did we get coffee before we left, John? We did? Okay.
Yes, I got you your coffee. Yep.
I went to India, and I landed, and I'd heard so much about India, and I got on the plane, and I forgot where I got on the plane. It was either Atlanta or it was like Kennedy or New York somewhere. One of those airports. But it was an 18-hour flight to India. You imagine that? 18
Oof.
Hours. It's so
Brutal.
Long. It's so long. And sobered up twice on the trip. That's how long it was. So, and you know, and they encourage you to get up and walk around, which I did. But, you know, 18 hours, like in a little bit of a, it's a semi-recliner, really. It doesn't recline much. So, and they feed you two or three times, and the reason I got drunk twice and sobered up is it's free alcohol. You know, you drink as much beer, as much liquor as you wanted. You didn't have to be in first class. So, of course, I took advantage of that. But I landed and got off, and, man, and I don't want to say this badly, but it has a smell to it. When you get off, it's even seeped into the airport, and you can smell it. And it's not really a bad odor, but not a good one. And in India, they have a big, big problem with terrorists. And the terrorists are from Pakistan, and they don't like each other because India, I mean, this conversation today, John, is going to take in everything. It's going to take in politics. It's going to take in religion. It's going to take in everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So you hear a phone ringing, John? Can you hear that?
Yes.
It stopped now. But anyway, they don't like the India is predominantly Hindu, and Pakistan is predominantly Muslim. They do not like each other. Like every 10 years or every 15 years, they fight a war over Kashmir that nobody wins. They just fight. And they go back to, they sign a truce, and they go on about their business. But about, I think it was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years before I got there, these terrorists came down from Pakistan and took over a hotel, killed a bunch of people, blew it up. But they don't like the Pakistanis. So when I got off on the plane, they had security in mind. So and not so much going out, but coming back. When I to go back, we did a show over there. And we was going back to the airport, and if before you walk into the door of the airport building, they have somebody checking your ticket and passport. Okay. He checked it. He said, go ahead. So I went another, I swear to God, 15 feet to another door, and there's a guy there. He said, can I see your passport and your ticket? I said, hey, I just showed it to the guy there. Oh, I need to see it. So I showed it to him again. Now, this is twice. I'm not even in the airport yet. So then I go down a little farther and where the ticket counter is. But before you get into the ticket counter, there's somebody checking your passport and your ticket again. This is three times before I even get to the window. Then I wait in line a little bit. It wasn't that bad. So I go up there, and about, I guess, 5 or 6 people in front of me, there's somebody who wanted to see my passport and my ticket again. That's 5 times. Then I get to the window. Of course, I got to show my ticket and my passport again. 6 times before I go through security. And when I start to go through security, of course, somebody wants to check it again. That's 7 times, I think. I've lost count already. And I bet before I got to my gate, I was checked 6 or 7 times before I even got on the plane of the trip back. But anyway, so that tells me right there they have a big problem with terrorism in India. But back to what I was talking about, if that virus gets turned loose in India, it's really, really going to be something. It really is. So, like I said, today is March the 17th. It's St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day to you, John.
Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day.
I hope you've had a good one. And we do not know at this point, we do not know when this podcast will drop. So I don't want to talk about anything too far out, because by the time fans listen to the podcast, we could be talking something that's old news. So, but like I said, I don't know when it's going to drop. Now, this is what I found out today, that, and I think I may have found out about it last night, that WrestleMania has been officially canceled. I think everybody knows that now. It's been officially canceled, and we were talking about this, John, before we went on the podcast today, having matches in front of no fans. Hey, I've done that before. Actually, I had a match one time. I put this on my Twitter. They beat my record. I worked a match one time, and I'd only been had 3, 4, 5 matches at the time. But there was like 8 people out there. They were like enthusiastic 8 people. But still, that was more than what WWE had on SmackDown and Raw, correct or no?
Yeah. Yeah, there was nobody there.
They had 0 people. So now I'm looking at this like from a creative standpoint. You know, wrestling is not supposed to be done in front of no people. I don't know how you can tell whether the people like anything at all, because that was always I always listened to the crowd. And John, I told you this before we went on the air. When I was booking Puerto Rico, I would bring in a new guy and I would send him to the ring, or they'd play his music and he'd go to the ring. And I would stand up above the floor. We were in, they call them conchas. They don't call them gymnasiums in Puerto Rico. They call them conchas. So I would stand up kind of high on TV night. And if the people responded to this guy, who they didn't know from Adam's house cat, that gave me the first indication that, well, I might be able to do something with this guy. But if they don't do anything, then I could see him going to the ring and them not doing, responding to him at all. But after he did a few things in the ring and they still didn't respond, I don't know, I got my work cut out for me. That's called the organic build. I always call it the organic build, because you build from within. So if they respond to him a little bit, if I did something with them, they would respond to it more. But in WWE, I don't know of any creative team who's ever had to adapt to trying to do a show, a wrestling show, which is intended to be done in front of live fans. And I don't know how long you can hold an audience like that, tell you the truth, because it's kind of boring to watch and it's boring to work. Because if you're in the ring and you just, it's almost like being at practice if you're doing something like that. If nobody's responding to you, how do you know what's getting over and what's not getting over? It's very, very tough. But anyway, WrestleMania is going to go on as planned in front of a zero audience. And but all the other events around WrestleMania, most of them have been canceled, correct, John, or no?
Yes, you are correct.
In Ring of Honor, they've canceled their events?
All the way until May 31st, yes.
Ring of Honor.
Yep.
What about Impact? What have they canceled?
They tape their stuff so far in advance. I know that they're canceled for a while, but I don't know how much stuff they have actually in the bank as far as taped. So I'm sure that they'll be able to put out some new, quote-unquote, new stuff, but they're definitely going to be canceling any live shows.
Well, this period in history for wrestling, and I'm just talking off the cuff here. I don't know if it's what I'm saying. Hang on a minute, John. Somebody turn my TV on. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
Well, that's what you get for this, I guess. John, does that mess anything up?
No, you can keep going. All good.
Okay. Well, that's what you also get for having a little stupid little Boston Terrier. I call him the Boston Terrorist. When he did, he walked on the bed. I had my remote laying on the bed. He walked across it and he hit him. I think he kind of knew what he was doing anyway. But this is another thing that's historic, especially in the wrestling business. A lot of guys plan their year around WrestleMania because they can go there and it's a big week for them. One guy I heard last year, he worked 13 events, he said. Is that possible, John?
Oh, yeah. There's about 100 or something going on and a million different promotions. So it definitely is possible.
Well, he said he worked 13 events, and actually it was his payday for basically the whole year. So, you know, if he – say you got, I don't know, some of the – I don't know what they pay these independent guys now. Let's say you got $300, $400 a shot. So he worked – say you work 13 shows, well, then how much is that? $4,000, say? Not counting his merchandise. Well, he could have very easily walked out of a WrestleMania week for $10,000. Easy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, easy, yep.
And almost, he's not even a star. Come to WrestleMania, and they come to spend money. They come to have a good time. And they come to see guys they've never seen. It's a big deal. It would be a big deal because this fan can always say, hey, I remember him when, and here's a picture I got with him, and he signed it right here. So it's a big deal to them. But by WrestleMania canceling because of this virus, it's really created a riptide in the wrestling business that I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I'm not a predictor of anything. But, you know, I've been in some territories when everything was fine. We didn't have a virus. We didn't have anything interfering with when the show would run on TV. And it was very, very hard to get it back on track again. And once you got it on track, if you ever got it on track, you have to watch everything you do because it could very easily go off track again. So this is going to be very interesting to see not only what happens to the wrestling business, but what happens to the country, which is more important than anything is what happens to the country. Because, you know, every time you turn the news on, now, by the time you people hear this podcast, a bunch of other big stuff may have happened. I want to cover that. and I'm not even talking about it. Of course, I don't know about it. So, but historic time in the wrestling business, and there was one more thing I wanted to talk about in the my opening. See, I don't have notes, John. I just talk as I go down the road, I guess. So, what are some of the things you wanted to know, John?
Well, I wanted to ask you not only the impact on the wrestlers and all this other stuff. What about the impact on actual Tampa, Florida? Because it wouldn't that be astronomical how much businesses and restaurants and all these other places? Wouldn't it be crazy about how much money the actual town of Tampa Bay, Florida, is going to make?
Oh, I think I read the other day the impact that WrestleMania makes on this town. That's why cities bid on WrestleMania. They bid on a couple of things. They bid on the Super Bowl, and they bid on WrestleMania. Plus, they may bid on a lot more stuff that I don't know about. I think, and I may be wrong, they say WrestleMania brings in like $200 million or more to the Tampa Bay area. Now, I'm new here. So, but okay, I just moved here from Nashville. If something happens to, say, FanFest in Nashville, it'll cost that town like $150 million. So, if this virus, and that's in the early part of June, if this virus is still going strong in June, it will affect all the other concerts. You know, they canceled Coachella, they canceled South by Southwest, which is a huge one, and it's already done. I bet it's done $5 billion worth of damage already. That will never be recovered, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. But WrestleMania brings in so much money, and by this canceling, and because when people come in, they go to restaurants, they buy stuff, they stay in hotels, they rent cars, they go drinking, they do this, they do that, they buy tickets, they buy merchandise. So it's very devastating. So it's astronomical of what this virus has done in just a short amount of time that we've known about it. So.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And to think that, like you said, the WWE cancels Mania, has all this impact on not only the wrestlers and everything else, but the city itself. But then you look at, they're actually going to do WrestleMania at the Performance Center. So what's the payday going to be for these guys? Do they get the same payday they would get as Mania? Is it all a part of their contract? How do you even know, like, how the hell does that work?
Well, I'm not an economist, but let's say a guy, random guy, he signs a contract for, and contracts are usually signed on the downside, and they do that because, say, a guy signs a contract, a first-year guy, for $150,000 a year, okay? Now, believe me, it sounds, $150,000 sounds like pretty good, and it is good, because according to what you got, it's like anything else, according to what your expenses are, but most guys starting out of the business, they don't spend a lot of money. Because it's new to him. But that's the downside. And, of course, if he works WrestleMania and he works SummerSlam and he works all the big events and he's on them, then he gets what the slot pays, which is another mystery of how you're paid. But say WrestleMania, say you're getting $150,000 a year. If you break it down, that's like $3,000 a week. So you go to WrestleMania and you walk out there, and there's 82,000 people sitting in the stands, which is sometimes a $14 million gate. It's what it is. But you're not really paid off that gate so much as you're paid your downside. I mean, you get more, and I guess according to your spot on the card and how much they need you is how much you get paid. But let's leave the match behind. Let's leave the WrestleMania, the actual show behind. All week long, what you're doing interviews and selling merchandise. That's all you're doing. But I don't know how much you get out of that merchandise. Now, pictures, I think, you're actually paid a very low percentage. It's like, I don't know, 2 or 3%. That's all you're making. If you were doing it on your own and you're selling a picture for $20, well, you'd be making almost $18.50 on that picture. But the way the WWE has it, you're actually making about 25 cents. So you ever think of it that way?
No, no.
No, because this is a whole new revenue stream for WWE. I mean, all those fan events and all these different things that they send guys to, they're all making money on all this. But you're really not paid off that. You're paid off the house and your downside. Now, years ago, guys were paid strictly off the house, strictly. There was no revenue streams coming in. There was no TV contracts. You were making no money on TV. Years ago, promotions actually paid to be on TV because even though they would sell, ads on the show, a lot of promotions back then, $500 to $1,000 a week to have 42 minutes of TV to advertise their show, because that's how they were forced to pay, because the TV station would argue, well, this is really a paid advertisement. This is an advertisement for the show, and it was. But a lot of them didn't want to barter, and the very few times that I heard that the TV didn't really charge money for the show, well, two times. Was in Memphis, where I think Jerry Jarrett, he was a promoter. He did an hour and a half show on Channel 5 in Memphis, and I think he charged them $1,500. But you know how many viewers that TV show would have, John, back in the day?
A lot.
This was only like three or four stations. That's how far back that was. They would have a viewing audience sometimes of 500,000 people. Memphis only has like, I guess back in those days, only had like 350,000 people. Of course, we're talking the area all around, 70 miles around. That show used to draw sometimes like a 22 rating, a 21 rating, with a 55 or 60 share of the audience. That's how strong it was. I'll get back to that in a minute. But and then in Puerto Rico was actually the smartest. Because they actually split the ad revenue with the station. So if they would go on and they had an hour and a half too. So let's say they pulled in on that hour and a half, they pulled in $2,500. Well, the promotion would get $1,200 and the station would get $1,200 and everybody was happy. But the rule of thumb years ago, believe it or not, was they had like the rule of threes. You've heard of the rule of threes, John?
That's mm-hmm. actually, yep.
That's actually a health thing. You know, you can live 3 minutes without air and 3 minutes without, or 3 days without water or 3 days without food or something, or 30 days without food. But it's a rule of three. Same thing with the wrestling, because the talent was supposed to get 30% and the expenses were supposed to be 30%. And the promoter got what was left over, the 30%. That's the way they would work. But that's what they say. When you see a house out there, sometimes it's $20,000. Well, you start throwing some mathematics in it. 30% of $20,000 would be what, like $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the talent was supposed to get in a lump sum for all of them. Of course, if you had 10 guys on the card. Right, one guy would, if everybody was paid equally, which they weren't, everybody would get $600. But match guys would get maybe $200. Then the middle of the cards would get $400, and the top guys would get $1,200 to $1,500. That's what they would get. It's actually back in the day, if you could get in the main event and draw $20,000, that was a good payday, a really good payday. But this was the trick. Who saw those numbers first?
The promoter, right.
The promoter saw it first, and he said, "Okay, it's $20,000. Let's figure this out. Let's say it's a 16. No, I said 15. 15 grand. And I've seen guys ask the promoter, "Hey, it looked a lot bigger house to me. I've heard them say this. It was a lot of freebies up top. So if you said 15,000, well, the other 5,000 you're not even accounting for. That goes right to you, right to the promoter. And that's where the guys, that's how the wrestler would get screwed all the time. old-time wrestler told me that. He said they get first count. And there's no way for a talent that we didn't have a union, we didn't have a spokesman, we didn't have anything because everybody was a private contractor. And you had your own deal, and you worked off your own deal. Sometimes you could get fired if you told another guy what your deal was because they didn't want that out. But if they got first count, you didn't know, and there's no way for you to check it, really. So, and if you think that's the WrestleMania, if you just multiply that by, say, 50 or 100, that's what the office is making off WrestleMania. If the WrestleMania gate is 15 million, well, I think that, and I don't know what it would cost to rent that stadium. What do you think it costs to rent a stadium, John?
I don't know. It's got to be in the upwards of tens of thousands.
I'm going to say hundreds of thousands.
Oh, okay. Even more.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I say to rent the stadium and everything around it, half a million is what I'm going to say. Or upwards. Now, WWE may get a deal. I don't know. But Vince also builds that big set, that stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes that's $1 million just to build that. And he puts a quality show out. It's a great show. I mean, and those guys go in there before WrestleMania ever, the day he ever comes, and they're working on that stage probably 2 weeks before the show gets there. That's a lot of work. So, you know, sometimes what you see on TV is 0% of what it takes to put it on. And I don't know what Vince has in the show because he's got to get the guys there. He's got to feed them, and he's got to house them, and he's got to get them around from gig to gig. Then he's got to pay them. But that's a big, big day. Now, I don't know. They used to charge how much for WrestleMania, John? $100 without the network?
Depends on the year. But I remember before the network, I think it got up to 70. I think it was somewhere around $69.99, somewhere in that range. But obviously with the network, now it's $9.99. But then I heard that they were trying to sell it off to either Fox or ESPN Plus just so that they could recoup some of the money that they've been losing lately through various channels and various means.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you make a big change like that, you're taking a big chance. People say, nah, screw it. Now, especially right now with this virus, I'm going back to the virus because it is going to change. Excuse me. It's going to change everybody's life. Everybody. Mine, yours, whoever's listening to this podcast. The life is going to change in the United States, especially the next couple of weeks. And once an economy, this economy is hot, or it was. Now it's going to cool off. And the world economy is going to cool off. And who knows where it's going to take us. That's what I'm afraid of. It's going to be this is the time, and I wish this podcast was more upbeat, to tell you the truth, but I want everybody to be prepared and take this serious, people. I was reading today where a lot of people are not taking it serious because they're young, and they have some, down here in Florida, they have some bans on beaches, and the beaches have been kind of full. Now, they're going to start putting people in jail. They're going to have to. Because if this virus is as lethal as they say it is, and I have no reason to doubt them, you know, people who is, they're actually public health hazards. It's almost like you're taking a loaded gun out there and waving it around. A lot of people has got to be leery of this. I want everybody to take it seriously. I'm not going to, but I don't know. It's no different than the regular flu and blah, blah, blah. And then I started reading the mortality rates and the regular flu versus this virus. And the regular flu was like, I don't know, 1%. But this is 3% or 4%. And I don't know how it kills you, but they say you have trouble breathing and your heart rate goes fast. And you actually, it takes you like 3 weeks to die. Personally, I don't want to take me 3 weeks to die. But I'm going to die. I just want to go on and be done with it and get on out of here. But that's what we're dealing with. So give me another question, John.
So I'm really curious, especially with you, how would you do this, you know, with WrestleMania not being canceled but being put in the Performance Center as a booker? How do you do it? Because you had everything building to a crescendo. You know, Goldberg and Reigns is built exactly to Mania, Undertaker, AJ Styles. I mean, all these big matches are being built towards Mania. Now Mania is at a Performance Center in front of no fans, and then you've got probably bigger shows and big SummerSlam coming up, and, you know, where you can really start reinvesting and making your money back with some of these big matches. But they're already all set up to a crescendo and set to be done at Mania. So as a booker, how would you do it? Because these matches can't be postponed. It's all building to right now.
Yep. Well, that's a good question. But the thing is, nobody has an answer to that. Nobody. Vince doesn't have an answer to that. Head of creative doesn't know that. Bruce Pritchard doesn't know it. Paul Heyman doesn't know it. Nobody knows it. You're just blind. You're just putting your what you think might work and put it out there and see if it works or see if it doesn't work. And I don't care your best idea in the world. I don't know what you would do. I said earlier, I wouldn't want to be a member of this creative team because I'm going to frankly tell you, I don't have an idea. I don't have any clue of how to get through this. Now, Vince, since he's the owner, and Triple H, since they may have a better handle on it, they may have an idea for it. It doesn't mean it's going to work because it's not going to be easy. I mean, when you sit back there and creative sits back there and says, well, maybe we can do this and this and this and this, but you have nothing to judge it on because you don't have a reaction. It could get your reaction or whoever came up with it, but you know what's going to happen. You're just hoping that it satisfies the viewers at home who are actually paying the money to watch this. It's almost like having an Academy Awards with no audience. You just have some people go up and talk and play some music. You have the greatest band in the world, but if they're playing in front of no people, there's no energy. The band can do so much. The band can actually do more than the wrestlers can because, you know, they can jump around and they got four or five or six of them. But wrestlers, I don't know what you would judge that on. Let me just answer that question. I don't know what I would do, to tell you the truth. I have no idea. Do you have an idea? And your idea was, listen, a fan's idea would be as good as mine. Because everybody says, this is what I would do, or this was what I would do. I don't know what I would do.
My only thought was, and it kind of makes no sense, but you almost want to postpone some of these bigger matches. But, I mean, I wouldn't even know how to start or go about that because all of a sudden.
But how about they said they're not going to postpone any of them?
Yeah, yep.
They said they've geared it for that, and that's when they're gonna take it to the crescendo, I guess. Did I talk to you about this? This may lead to something else, and I don't know if I talked to you the other day, John.
Mm-hmm.
Did I talk to you about the off-season in WWE?
No, you didn't mention that to me, no. Mm-mm.
Well, like last year, and I just started noticing this, and last year may have been the first time that they even talked about it. The season starts tonight on USA, the new season. See, they didn't used to call it seasons, but if they said it all starts tonight, right after WrestleMania. But I was thinking maybe they could take a month off, and it's almost like you build to the new season. And I don't think they'll do that, but it is an idea that it's the break point. You build to here, then you take – it's like Super Bowl. Then you take the break because Super Bowl takes 6 months. I mean, wrestling wouldn't take that long. But if you took a month and then you could promote coming back, it's like a new show. But you're still dependent upon fans being there. So, and what was that last statement you made, John?
Well, if they could postpone it and do that, they do have a great, you know, production staff and a great production crew. So you could really maybe even while the off season going on, still put out videos and interviews and promos and things of that nature and kind of build to the next season while they're taking some time off. Does that make sense? Could they possibly do that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't take a three-hour show on Monday night and make it a preview.
Right.
I mean,
they'd have to cut the show down. Yeah.
After the first hour, you go, God, guys, when are you going to show me something?
Mm-hmm.
There was something else I wanted to bring up. Okay, is the European tour, it's canceled, right?
From what I'm hearing, that it's supposedly canceled. Yeah, I don't know if I saw it from WWE or from one of the wrestling websites.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why they kind of take – that's when they do their TV from London and all that. Hey, John,
mm-hmm.
let me call you right back. Something come up. I'll call you right back. Okay?
Yep. And then the cancellation, right, of the European tour. I don't know if it's officially
canceled,
but that's what the sites are saying.
I'm pretty sure it's canceled. They haven't noted it or not. But they're not letting people in. It's got to be canceled. I mean, France, they usually go to France. They go to Italy. They can't go there. Because that puts their talent in, and I doubt if the guys would even go. You know what I mean? You can't go into the heart of the virus and say, oh, well, it's just business. You know, and then you can't do it that way. They won't go. I would have to say at this point, I would refuse to go because of health reasons. Would you?
Have you ever? Absolutely. Have you ever heard of a wrestler tell you, oh, I'm not going because of health reasons? Or is that even like a first?
No, I've never had a wrestler tell me he wouldn't go because of health reasons. But I do know I was with – are we back now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're back. Okay.
Yep.
But remember the India trip I was telling you about?
Yes, of course.
That was with TNA,
mm-hmm.
I think. Maybe it was with Impact. I don't know. They've changed their name 42 times in that period when I was there. Hell, I didn't even know who I was working for half the damn time. But on the last deal, when after Anthem took the company over,
mm-hmm.
they were going to India, and I just told them, I said, guys, I can't make that 18-hour trip. I just couldn't do it because of a health reason. And who else couldn't make it was Abyss. He couldn't make it either because he has, edema or something. It's swelling of the legs, I think, or something. And he was advised not to go. And I don't blame him not to go. If you have a medical emergency when you're over Africa, Zaire or Namibia, I don't think there's a lot of places you could go and be treated. So, but I have had guys tell me, and I've done it too, I can't make a trip like that. But in this case, if somebody says they couldn't go, you'd have to take them up on their word. But I don't think WWE would go because they're putting their talent in danger. Usually the European trips happened right after WrestleMania and right after, what's the one in November, October? What's it called?
Survivor Series?
I think they go twice a year. One's right after WrestleMania and Survivor Series, I think. That's the two times they go and they set it up. And you go over there, and that is a long, long month. Because I know people that are listening to this, you know, how long guys go out sometimes. I went to WrestleMania the last time I was in WWE, and we left right from there, and we went to Europe. So you make the 3 days and that was when we were doing Raw and SmackDown the next night. So we do Raw and SmackDown, then Wednesday you leave and you fly usually to the UK, and you're on the West Coast. One time I was in LA, which is a hell of a long trip. That was about 12 hours. But I think we stopped in New York. I don't know how. But you fly over there, and then you work for a week and a half. You do Raw over there. You do SmackDown over there. And you work that whole week. Then you come back, and you go right back to Raw and SmackDown. So you're gone about at least 17 days before you get back home. 17 or 18 days, you're gone. Now, one time, let me tell you this horror story. I was in WCW, and I was doing commentary, and I even forgot what show I was doing. I was doing commentary with Tony Schiavone, and we were just doing, you know, just in the States then. But we would do it on Monday night, and then we would leave on Tuesday, and we'd go out on the road. Instead of me coming home, I would come right back to Atlanta, and we'd do the show again, and then I would leave right back out. I was gone that particular time, like 61 or 62 straight days before I actually went back home. Hard to believe, isn't it?
That's nuts.
But I went out there, and it was every night. You know, you'd make these towns, and then you get in the car, and you go to the next one. It was a grind. Man, I was wore the hell out. But I had to go back. See, if I wasn't doing the commentary, I could probably taken that day off and went home. Well, maybe not. It was TV. They probably want me for TV. But sometimes that's what you got to do if you're in this business, because it's a business that a lot of people have. It has a lot of glamour about it, but it has a lot of hard work involved in it too. So, but I think the European tour would be canceled, and I think a lot of their tours may be canceled. A lot of their, you know, if they're talking in Florida now, they're talking they don't want anybody. Now, this was last week, I think. They said they didn't want any crowds of over 250 people. And the last day or two, now, keep in mind, we're way ahead of when people might hear this. They don't want them to be groups of 10 people or more. So it's getting dicey. It's getting really and kind of scary for me, and I've seen a lot of stuff. But it's what we're going to live with. But it's going to change everybody's life, and it's already changed the landscape of wrestling, and I think it will in the future too.
No doubt about it. It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy times. There's no doubt about that.
Remember I told you the other day about territories people don't know anything about?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk about just a couple of them today before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
See, people aren't used to territories. They've heard about it, but they really don't know what a territory really is, especially young kids. They have a general idea about it. But a territory was a company all its own that operated in a certain geographical area. Let's take Birmingham, Alabama. And it had a company there, and they just wrestled in Birmingham and the Alabama towns and a few Mississippi towns, and they would go down to Pensacola and Panama City, and they'd work that. And then sometimes they'd go as far north as Knoxville, just wherever their TV was. But it was a territory that was a fun, fun place to work, and actually a fun place, a fun show to watch. Because back in those days, you know, we had actual wrestlers doing the booking, and we knew how to entertain people, not writers. And I'm not saying writers aren't qualified to do it, but I don't think they're as qualified to do it as experienced wrestlers, because we know the little shortcuts we can take and this and that and we can anticipate how people will react to certain situations better than a writer can. But working in Birmingham was a fun, fun place. They had the – and you've heard of Ron Fuller?
Absolutely, yes.
Robert Fuller. And mm-hmm. Jimmy Golden and Wendell Cooley and Bob Armstrong and all the Armstrong guys, kids, they were all there. And they more or less, what I would call, they homesteaded it. I mean, and they would come there and they'd work there 6-8 months to a year. Then let's say Brad, he's gone. But what a great, tremendous talent he was and a great guy. Did you ever meet Brad Armstrong?
No, never had the opportunity.
A great guy and funny. God, he was hilarious. But what his drawback was, and I told him this one time, and he knows it, was when he got on camera, he just got serious. If his character had ever come out on TV, like he came out in the dressing room, he'd have been a big star. Because he was almost like a professional comedian. He was that funny, had good timing. And he could take anything and make a joke about it. Plus, he was a good guy, but and all the Armstrongs are good guys. They're all great in the ring. They're like born in the ring. You know, Bob had them in the ring probably as a year old. So they all know what they got to do, and they're all very talented guys. But they worked the territory, and when you would go in there, you'd go in there. Usually when I went in there, as a heel, and I worked around, you know, and I'd work with Bob, and I'd work with all these guys. But it was really a fun place to work. All the see, back in those days, people, you know, they heard that it wasn't only up and up, and it wasn't real, and it wasn't that. But the people didn't care. They come to be entertained, and we'd entertain them. A great, great place to work. If you see anything that's got like Continental on it on the internet, check it out, because it's usually pretty good stuff. And of course, Adrian Street was there, Miss Linda was there. Remember Ronnie West, the referee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember him? He was there. He was kind of helping with the booking, you know. But it was a really, really fun place to work. Actually, I think in a lot of ways, I enjoyed it more than Memphis. Now, Memphis was another place that we did a lot of crazy stuff and a lot of actually silly stuff. You know, you hear some guys talking about what's that guy's kid's name, Orange Cassidy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, a lot of people are just shitting all over the guy, you know. And someone asked me, would you book that guy? Or let's take another, Joey Ryan. When I book him, well, I would probably book him because I like him. Probably be some places I couldn't use him. But I thought about this question and how I would answer it. If the guy that I booked this guy and he did something a little off color or a little non-believable, if my box office showed an increase in ticket sales, well, if he took a dump in the corner, if it sold out, then I'd not only have him do it, I'd give him a roll of toilet paper too and say, go do it. But see, the marketplace will hit a straighten out anything. If the guy's not selling tickets, don't book him. But if he sells tickets and you have an audience for that type of, if I was in vaudeville, I'd say act. And it's the same thing. If I had an audience for that, yeah, I'd book them and let them go to it. So, and I've been seeing on the internet some guys getting all upset about, say, Orange Cassidy and this. I kind of like his deal, to tell you the truth, because it's so far-fetched. But you kind of know what he's doing. You kind of got to be in on it. I think anybody now that doesn't know that wrestling is kind of a form of entertainment, there's something wrong with them. It's not wrong with the performer. It's something wrong with the people watching it.
Have you actually ever seen him wrestle?
I've seen him wrestle. He's actually pretty good when he gets to it.
Yeah, he's actually a better athlete than you realize, yeah.
Well, you watch it, and first of all, when he does it, I'm sure it's the first time, if you ever see it, you got to go, now what, that looks like shit. And he just kicks the guy, walks around, another guy kicks him back. And then another kick, and something else, and it leads up to it, you know. And then finally he gets jumped on, and then his hands come out of his pockets, and he starts wrestling. And he's actually very good. He's very talented, to tell you the truth. Hey, Joey Ryan had a match with Jerry Lawler. You see it?
Yes.
And I was thinking about this. I wonder would Lawler do this with this guy? And I was thinking, well, you know, Lawler, I don't know if he would actually go down and grab the little peni. I don't know if he'd do that or not. But I thought I was interested. I said, I guarantee you Lawler would do something with this that would make it entertaining. And he did. You know, he said, you know, grab me here, and Lawler, yeah, bullshit, you know, back and forth. And then I forgot what happened, but Lawler hit him with a fire, which is everybody was happy with that. And then he runs off and you don't have it. But everybody, they entertained them for at least 5 minutes. And the people were entertained over what might happen. That's what kept them tuned in. So when I first saw it, I said, I don't quite get this. I really don't. But let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you a question now. How many independent wrestlers do you think are legitimately in the United States? Not, they don't make the living full-time off independent wrestling. But how many actual independent wrestlers who do it part-time? are out there? Just an estimate.
Thousands. Got to be thousands.
Got to. I estimated one time it's probably 10,000.
Yeah, I would say something.
And you know,
like
10,000, if you take 10,000 and multiply it or divide it into 50 states, that's only like, what, 50 a state? I'm
mm-hmm.
on that. I don't know. 500 a state? 200? I don't know. My math is not working for me today. But there's got to be. Because these little shows that run on Friday night and Saturday night, the National Guard Armory at the damn VFW or whatever. And I've seen some of them that they don't draw nothing. I don't know how they could afford to go there unless the the guy at the little club, he pays them a little money to go. That's the only way they could do it. But there's got to be at least that many wrestlers out there. And that's not counting the managers and the referees and all this stuff. I used to see guys that go on the road. I work some independent show. I go, "How you doing, Dutch? Blah, 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 blah. Been a long time. Haven't seen you." And I swear to God, I'd never seen the guy in my life. And he says, "Oh, you remember me? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How could I forget you?" But you can't say you don't know him. And I'd always say, "Yeah, I know you." And then I'd get to talking to him. I said, How long you been working? He said, "No, oh, I've been working about 18 years.
Hmm.
I said, 18 years, boy. What a trip to get to the VFW, the main event of the VFW. That's a hell of a trip you made, buddy." But see, a lot of, and I think people would be interested in just a little show about a guy who wants to be a wrestler and he never made it past the independents. I think it's actually a good concept. And then, you know, you could add to that. So if there's any writers out there who want to take that concept and build upon it, then send it to me. I'd be interested in hearing the story or just the outline of the story. Before I forget it, let me give my email address, dirtydutchmantel, with two L's, at gmail.com. And you can go to my website, which is up, but it's really not fully functional. It is functional, but it's not functional, if you know what I mean. And that is the email, dirtydutchmantel.com, and you can get the University of Dutch there. And you can find me on Twitter at dirtydmantel or dirtydutchman1, and on Instagram at dirtydutchman1. And that's how you can find me. Now, if you write me an email, I'll probably reply back to you and say hello to you. It's just not going to come. And it's not like I'm covered up in so much email I can't answer it. But if somebody wants to write me and ask me a question, yeah, I'll reply back to it. So I got one more thing to say, if I can remember what I want to say. After we finish this, John, is what I'm going to do. I said, damn, I had something else to say. What the hell did I want to say?
Always happens. Yep, always happens.
It always happens. It always. John, don't get old. Believe me. It's a bitch. And that's another thing about that virus. The older people don't have a chance. So if I'm talking this week, next week, folks, if you don't hear from me, well, it probably got me. I hate to say that, but hey, what's that old song? When nobody gets out of here alive, that's what they say. So, but anyway, John, I'm gonna bid goodbye to all the fans out there, and I want to tell everybody that I appreciate you being a fan, because without all you fans, guess what old Dutchman would have had to do? I would have had to actually get out and get a regular job. Which I kind of hated the job. I had a job one time. I hated it. So, John, what do you do, John?
Me, I am in sales. So do a lot of account management, a lot of sales. So a lot of good stuff. And then obviously with
well,
the Two Man Power Trip,
can you
a lot
tell,
of podcasts as well.
Now, what's the name of your podcast, Two Man Power Trip?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Two Man Power Trip. People, go over there and check out John. But what do you sell? I'm going to interview you a second.
Okay, this sounds good. So right now, I am selling all a cabinetry, whether it be kitchen, entertainment centers, you name it, garage cabinet, all that kind of stuff, all kind of woodworking, stuff like that.
You know, I love woodworking, and this is what I think I'm going to do. I had a deal one time that this guy wanted something, you know, like on his – it was like a funny desk, but it had a nice top. And I said, let me do something to that top. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And he was a big wrestling fan. So I took it, and it was a little older. It was an aged, had some age on it. And so I took it and kind of cleaned it up and sanded it down and, like, you know, clean, you know, sealed it and everything and put a stain on it. But I put a nice WWE logo in the middle of it.
Oh, nice.
And he loved that more. He said, and there was not any more like it. And it looked so good. You know, I've actually made a couple more for friends of his. Now, I don't charge too much for them, but, you know, it takes a while to do that. But if you have that and you're a wrestling fan, or if you're any kind of a fan, if you say you're a University of Alabama football fan or University of Texas or any, you know, you can put that logo on top, seal it, and it'll be 10 or 20 years and it won't wear off. And you could always have that, or you could put a picture on it. You can do anything. That's why I love woodworking. So you don't have anything like that in cabinetry, do you?
No. That's a good idea, though.
That is a good idea. But, and I didn't sell it because, you know, if you want to put in like a WWE logo on something, I didn't sell it. You know, it was a tip. You know, I just, they tipped me, and I made it for them. So, listen, I'm going to be going into that a little more on my website later on. And
nice.
Because I think it's a, and you got a table like that, they're going to notice it because it jumps at them because it looks that good. So anyway, folks, if you're interested in something like that, I'm going to be talking about it on my website, dirtydutchmantel.com, the University of Dutch, that's the name of it. And on there, I got a couple of stories, and I wrote a little bit of a blog, but the blog is stories. And it's stories from a long time ago, stories that you've never heard before. And it's actually enjoyable reading. I go back and actually read it sometimes by myself. And because I actually forget how it ends, is because I've been hit in the head about a couple hundred thousand times. So I forget how my own story even ended. But I'm going to start putting that on my website. And, John, I'll send you a picture of it. And if I can find it somewhere. And I'm going to put it on the website so people go and check it out. So this is what I'm going to do. John, you get ready to start that music. We're going to get off here. And I want everybody who's a real American and within the sound of my voice to please rise, put your hand over your heart, and say along with me and John, we the people.
The people.
Let's do it again, John. We
the people. The people.
We got it. Okay, folks, I'll see you next week. And hopefully, I don't know when this is going to drop. But hope it's not too long, and so I'll see you next week. Take care.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.